Praise the Lord, Bridgeway. I said, praise the Lord, Bridgeway. One more time for the Holy Spirit in the new year, January 1st, 2023. Praise the Lord, Bridgeway. Praise the Lord online right there. Chat it up. Praise the Lord. Repeat after me. I can't wait to see what God is going to do in you and me in 2023. Come on, one more time. I can't wait to see what God's going to do in you and me in 2023. God is going to bless me in 2023. God is going to heal me in 2023. God is going to deliver me in 2023. God's going to prosper me in 2023. Doors will open for me in 2023. Chains will fall off of me in 2023. Goodness and mercy shall follow me in 2023. Come on, put your hands together. It's a new year. It's a new year. Today, we're going to have the opportunity to give to the Lord the very first offering of the year, and we call this a first fruits offering. And the reason why we call it that is based on a couple of scriptures like Proverbs 3, verses 9 and 10, which says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. So they would plant things, and the first fruits that come up, they'll give it to the Lord. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. In Malachi 3, verses 10 through 11, it says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. The Lord says, test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not cast their fruit or waste fruit, says the Lord Almighty. Only place in Scripture where God says, test me. And it's with regard to your finances. It's with regard to putting him first. Well, we said that this would be the day that we'd make that dedication to the Lord. We opened it up on November 20th, so you could start giving online then if you wanted to. That's when I started preaching about the overflow. And it goes through the end of this month, January 31st. And you received the envelope on your way in. And if you don't have that envelope, when it's time for the offering, just raise your hand and we'll ask an usher to bless you with it. Inside there's a card where you can say, you know, that you're giving your offering today, or you already gave your offering, or you will give your offering. This is an opportunity for you to test the Lord, to plant a seed early. And for those of you online, just go to bridgeway.cc/firstfruits and you can give there. For those of you who give on your phones, you can give on your phones right here in the auditorium and then fill out the card and just say, I gave on my phone, okay? Any way you want to do it, this is an opportunity for you. I am so excited about what God is going to do in you and in me in 2023. Well, guess what? Somebody heard the word of the Lord in one of the sermons, and God has already started doing a testimony in her life. I want you to check out this video of a woman from South Africa, Zimbabwe. She lives here in Maryland. Her name is Tekla. Listen to what she says.
Hey, testimony time. I just have a burning testimony that I just can't help but share with everybody, and I'm hoping somebody will be encouraged and somebody will be obedient and somebody will listen and somebody will be moved. So here it goes. A few weeks ago, Dr. Anderson spoke on giving out of our first fruit. I was in church in person. Normally I watch online since COVID, but that day I was actually in church and the word was so powerful and I felt the anointing of the Holy Spirit throughout the service and throughout the man of God as he was speaking. And I remember when I got back home, I recorded a voice note about how the Holy Spirit was speaking within me on how I should be obedient. It wasn't just through my giving, it was also through my time. So anyway, I was obedient and I gave my first fruit offering that day. And so he's what is so amazing. Dr. Anderson had spoken about, you know, God is able to open doors and windows. People receive checks in the mail. And he was very specific about some people will get checks in the mail and will be told that you've been overpaying on something, and then here's your refund. Guess what? A few days later, my mortgage company sent me a letter, and here is the letter. Here's the letter from my mortgage company. A few days later, after I gave my first fruit offering, I received this letter, and inside the letter also, there was a check, y'all. This is my check from my mortgage company. So they said I had been overpaying on my escrow account, and so therefore, they were refunding $1,772 to me, and not only that, my mortgage went down by $162 every month starting the month of December. How about that? God is good. God is able only if we obey. We have to obey, because on that day, it's something, the Holy Spirit was so powerful within me, and through the word, I felt convicted that I needed to start being obedient and giving the first fruit of my time, the first fruit of my time, my labor, the first of everything. And, you know, God is able. So I hope somebody's encouraged, somebody's obedient. Let's walk in the path of obedience and watch God. He said, try me, try him. I did. And I got my check in the mail. This is the very first check I've ever received in the mail. Yeah, I never get checks. So, hey, God is able. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And thank you, Dr. Anderson, for being so obedient to the Holy Spirit and following in the paths of teaching us and enabling us to be obedient and walking in righteousness and in holiness. Thank you.
It doesn't take God long, does it? She got a check in the mail for over $1,700, and her mortgage went down $160 a month. I mean, good Lord. So this is what I want you all to do. When your testimonies come, upload a video. It doesn't have to be professional. Do a little selfie video for a minute or two or three and go to bridgeway.cc/firstfruits and upload it. And throughout the year, because God may do something next week, he may do something today, he may do something in June or July, or he may do multiple things throughout the year. Record this for yourself, but it also will be a blessing to us to just see what God is doing. So when he blesses you, however he blesses you, upload that video so we can give God the glory. We'll all be able to see it. We'll play some of them in services throughout the year. But I am so expectant. I am so excited. And Bridgeway, we're about to cross over into another dimension of blessing and glory as a church. And I thank you for getting in on what God is up to. Now, I don't know exactly what all of this means, all of this blessing, all of this favor, all of this glory. I don't know everything that you're going to experience in 2023. I can't say I know what all of it means, but I do know seven things. I don't know if all seven are for you, if six are for you, if one's for you, but here are seven things that I know that you will be in 2023. Seven things that you will be in 2023. I'll review them at the end. I'll post them later today on my social media. Hold on to these because they're going to be your testimony. It's all based out of Joshua chapter 3, a passage that was the theme for us back in 16, 17 years ago when we talked about God will do amazing things in Joshua 3, when the Israelites had been traveling all those years and decades in the wilderness. God had promised that they would make it to the promised land. And now they're almost there. And so we'll go to Joshua 3. I'll pick it up in verse 1. And here's the first thing you will be in 2023. You will be coming out of something difficult. You will be coming out of something difficult. Verse 1. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. They're about to cross over into the promised land. They're about to cross over the Jordan. They had journeyed for many years, and now they're in the very final city, the last town, the last province, the last place that they will have to camp out before they cross over into the promised land. Isn't it ironic that the last place before your breakthrough is a place called Shittim? Isn't it interesting that right before your breakthrough, somebody is walking in the middle of Shittim? This is in the Bible, friends. It's the last place before the miracle they had to go through. Somebody is in a place where they can't wait to come out of what they've been in. Some of you have been through stuff, and some of you have gone through stuff. And someone said it's the darkest before the dawn. And what happens is when the enemy has you locked down in a place called Shittim, you almost want to give up because you don't believe that your change is ever going to come. And God sent me to tell somebody today that you are coming out of something difficult. So put your boots on and walk through that place. This is not a time to give up. This is a time to move forward. And God is taking you to your promised land. You are coming out of something difficult. And if you don't like the name of the place, then we can just call it Shittim. Is that better for you? In case some of you are too holy and righteous to understand that that's the King James word of the Bible right there, just say Shittim. It's the last place on the journey of the wilderness because you're about to cross over into a new place. But the word Shittim actually means thorns. It's that same kind of wood that Noah was told to make the ark with and the temple with. Whatever you want to call it means thorns. Some of you have been in thorns. Some of you have been dealing with the thorns in your flesh, in your marriage, in your finances, in your body, in your health. And the one thing I do know for somebody, God is bringing you out. The second thing I want you to realize is that you will be moving into something delightful. Not only coming out of something difficult, but moving into something delightful. Verses 2-7, after 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant, that was the presence of the Lord that was captured in the thing that they were carrying, and the priests who were Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way. He says, move out from your positions. And even though you don't know which way to go, when you see the presence of the Lord moving, move out of that place that you are stuck in. And he will take you in a way that you've never gone before. The second thing I want you to hear is that some of you are going to be moving into something delightful. And it's time for you, some of you, whoever this word is for, to move out, to move on. God has something new for you. And what God is saying is now I want you to be expectant that while years of wilderness was your season, there now is a new season that is coming. And you may smell like the place where you were. You may have residue all over you because of the place where you were. But you have to understand, when I take you to the new place, it will be delightful. And the reason why it's going to be delightful is because you're going to cross a river. And when you cross that river, that's going to be a line of demarcation from the past season until the new destiny that God has for you. Somebody needs to hold on to that word right there, that what you experienced was in the past, but what God has for you is something new. And he says in verse 4, then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. You ever meet somebody who says, yeah, I've done that before. I've been there before. God is saying, no. Where I'm taking you in 2023, you've not been that way before. I'm going to take you into new territory. And in fact, that leads me to the third thing you will be. You will be witnessing the Lord doing amazing things. That was our theme 17 years ago. Amazing. It says in verses 5-6, Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do, here it is, amazing things among you. Joshua said to the priest, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people. So they took it up and they went ahead of them. You see, he says, consecrate yourselves because tomorrow God's going to do amazing things. I know yesterday that may have been a season for you, but I'm telling you, prepare yourself and consecrate yourself because tomorrow God's going to do something amazing. And this offering today is not just a dedication, and yes, it's a dedication, but it's also an opportunity for your consecration. It's an opportunity that when you put that envelope in the basket here in the house, or when you go online and you give that gift to the Lord, that first fruits offering, that what you're doing is you're not only dedicating your offering to the Lord, you're consecrating yourself. You're saying, God, I want to be consecrated. That means to be separated, to be clean, to be holy, to start anew. I'm going to get myself ready before I get my offering ready. When you come to the front, yes, you can just put it, the envelope in the basket, but you might want to say a prayer as it goes in. You might need to bow for a minute before it goes in. You might need to pray as you're walking toward it. Just know that this is not just your dedication. This is your consecration. And this is what it says on the envelope in case you can't read it. It's in block letters. It's close. You might have to strain, but I'm going to put it on the screen. Listen to what it says on the envelope. Dear Lord, with this first fruits offering, I hereby acknowledge that you are my priority. Please catapult me into your divine location, position, anointing, and favor. Grant me with your wisdom for this coming year as I give from a grateful and cheerful heart. This I pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. You will be witnessing the Lord doing amazing things. And I can't wait to hear about it. I said there are seven things that I do know. Here's the fourth thing. I know that you will be elevated and affirmed before others as a testimony to God's anointing over you. Verses 7 and 8, and I don't know who it's for. It may not be for everyone, but notice what he says. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river. He's telling Joshua, you're going to be exalted. And he's telling someone else today, you're going to be exalted. God will exalt some of you and he will affirm his anointing on you. There was a time for Moses, but this is now also a time for Joshua. And this year is someone's Joshua season. I don't know what season you've been in, but there's a new season coming for someone. You will be elevated and you will be affirmed, but it'll be in front of those that are with you. So they'll know. So they'll see it. It may be on your job. It may be in your neighborhood. It may be in your church. It may be among your family. I don't know what it means for all of you, but don't be surprised as you do your video testimonies at March 15th or July 7th. I don't know what the date's going to be. It may not be tomorrow, but I want you to tie it back to one of these seven things. So when God does it, you can say, I see it now. The terrible thing about us as human beings, God will do something and we'll forget that we even asked him to do it. God will do something and we'll forget that he promised it to us years ago. It's like we think our prayers have an expiration date, or because our faulty memories can't remember something, we don't realize what God is doing is simply answering a prayer that our parents prayed or that our grandparents prayed, or a seed that you planted on January 1st, 2023, and now it's August sometimes, and you get this promotion, and you're like, wow, what a coincidence. God is trying to tie this seed and this word in you so when it happens, you will give him the glory. Not coincidence. Not a such thing as coincidence. It's called God incident. God already spoke it. You plant it, God moved. Don't get amnesia during the harvest. Don't get amnesia during the time when it's growing under the ground and when it's sprouting up slowly. When your harvest comes, tie it back to the seed you are planting today. Some of you will be elevated and affirmed. Yes, you will. Here's the fifth thing. You will be witnessing God driving out opposing forces on your behalf. Just because you're going into a Joshua season doesn't mean you're not going to have any battles. Just because you're coming out of Shittim doesn't mean that there's not going to be enemies when you get to the promised land. Yeah, it's milk and honey, but it's also the enemy, always seeking whom he may devour. It says in verse 9 and 10, Joshua said to the Israelites, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, Jebusites, all kind of ites. Seven opposing forces coming against Joshua, but God took care of them all. Joshua's about to go into the promised land with his people. You're about to go into a new season, but it doesn't mean that you won't have opposition. You may have opposing forces come against you. He had seven. You may have seven as well. It might be one, physical issues. Two, mental health issues. Three, financial issues. Four, marriage issues. Five, fertility issues. Six, employment issues. Seven, business issues. Who knows what your issues are gonna be? One, depression. Two, anxiety. Three, fear. Four, doubt. Five, addiction. Six, anger. Seven, hate. Who knows what the opposing forces that are gonna come against you? But here is the thing. You're gonna witness God driving out those opposing forces on your behalf. I'm here to tell somebody that no weapon that's formed against you shall prosper. But it doesn't mean that the weapons won't be formed against you. They will come against you, but they won't prosper. They'll come against your family, but they won't prosper. They'll come against your bank account, but they won't prosper. They'll come against your credit report, but they won't prosper. They'll come against your stocks, but they won't prosper, because God will make sure that whatever it is you are supposed to do, you're going to watch this God drive out those opposing forces to you, to your children, to your grandchildren, and you're going to tie it back to this seed where you have planted with expectation. God, the first day of the year, when people were still sleeping because they were out all night, I got up and I came into the house of the Lord. I got up and I clicked onto the service. God, I will not go through day one of 2023 without giving you glory, without giving you praise, without giving you an offering, without giving you my first fruits. You are the reason I am here. Not vodka, not tequila, not marijuana. I am here not because of people I party with. I'm here because it wasn't the alarm clock that woke me up this morning. You told me to get up, and I got up this morning. I can feel the blood running warm in my veins. I can walk under my own power. I can brush my own teeth. I can dress my own body. The only reason I can do it, not because I'm so smart, not because I'm so strong, I'm doing it because the grace of God is over my life. The mercy of God is over my life. The favor of God is over my life. I'm here today because you said so. How dare I not bless your name? How dare I not praise your name? I'm never too tired to praise the Lord. The world can do what the world wants to do, but I'm getting into the house of the Lord. I'm going to worship Almighty God. I don't care what degrees you have. I don't care how big your house is. I don't care what you drive. The only reason you are here. It's the grace of God. It's the favor of God. It's the promise of God. The only reason we are his because he did not allow the enemy to devour us. Anybody know what the enemy looked like? Has he ever come knocking on your door? but he should have known that God put the blood on the door frame of my house. So when he came through my neighborhood, he had to go to the next house because this house is occupied. This house is occupied. It's occupied by the Spirit of God. It's covered by the blood of the Lamb. I'm preaching. It's the first day of the year. We're going to be here for a few hours, y'all. Get yourself ready. I'm not going to be stuck in Shittim. I'm not going to live in Shittim. I may have gone through it, but God is not going to make me live there forever. Some of you are staying in places that God only meant for you to go through. That is not your destination. It's simply your transportation. Some of you dwelling in a place that have no business of staying there. I've been off my notes for a while. It's time to get to the offering. But this ain't no ordinary offering. This is a spiritual, divine act, and the enemy is upset. He's angry. He's hoping that you will give it with fear. He's hoping you will give it with grudge. He's hoping you will give it with shame. And God is saying, no, give it with cheer. Give it with praise. Give it with a hallelujah. I promise you that when you see me driving out your enemies, you're going to understand why the enemy was so scared of this offering. He was scared because he actually realized that if you actually believe that God will move on your behalf because you gave out of obedience, then his kingdom might be pushed back. So watch him, because he's going to drive out the opposing forces. Number six, you're going to witness God making a way out of no way. Verse 11 and 12 and 13, see, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. And as soon as the priests who carry the ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. See what God is doing? He's making a way out of no way. They saw the flood. They saw the river, and it says it's flood stage. This wasn't a time that it was shallow. This was a time that it was flooding over. This is a time you want us to go, Lord, to the Jordan? There's no way. And what God is trying to say is that you're exactly right. There is no way without me. But what you're about to witness is that I'm going to make a way out of no way. Anybody been in front of something you can't even see how you would even get across it? Like, it makes no human sense. And yet, God is saying, yep, you're right. But watch this. And God will make a way out of no way. I believe that one of the things you will be is you will be witnessing God making a way out of no way. And friends, this year, you're going to see miracles, signs, wonders that will be unmistakably God. I'm not talking about manifested, manufactured praise and hallelujahs and miracles and pixie dust and promises that are fake and phony and religious. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about God will make a way out of no way, and you will see miracles and signs and wonders that will be unmistakably God, uncontested God. Like, you're gonna be like, there ain't no way. Like, when they saw the water go, they're gonna be like, that wasn't science, wasn't education, wasn't my smarts. Wasn't my strengths, wasn't my gifts, wasn't my talents, wasn't my personality, wasn't my good looks, ain't nothing but. And when you see that happen, you better get your cell phone out and get that video testimony, because I'm telling you, you're going to see it this year, and I can't wait. Here's the last one. You will be crossing over into new territory in community with others, not alone. That's the cool thing about it. Together they go across to the Jordan. Verses 14 and following, and here's the last part of the passage. So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant, went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest, as I told you. Yet, as soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan, while the water flowing down to the seas of the Arabah, the Salt Sea or the Dead Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over the opposite Jericho. The priest who carried the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. It says these 12 tribes of Israel, the leader from each tribe, 12 of them, led out carrying the Ark of the Covenant with the priests. And it says they walked to the edge of the water. And it says when their feet touched the edge of the water, that's when it stopped. See, from a distance, sometimes we see that river and we're like, yeah, we can't cross that, but if God's going to do a miracle, go ahead, God, do it right now. And when it stops and it's dry, then we'll walk through. But we see what happens here. Lead out. It says when their feet touch the edge. You see, what happens is we want God to do the miracles before we even step out in faith. And God is saying, no, I want you to step out. I want you to take one step at a time. And when you walk by faith and trust God by faith, when your feet touches the water's edge, that's when you're going to see the miracle. Some of you have been waiting for a miracle of God. God's been waiting on you to trust him. Some of you are waiting on a miracle of God, and God's waiting on you to obey him. Some of you are waiting on a miracle from God, and God is waiting on you to just take that step that I asked you to take. And when you take that step, then that activates all of heaven. I'm waiting to stop the waters. I'm waiting to stop the flood. But I'm also waiting for you to step out and step in. Here are the seven things, again, in review. You will be coming out of something difficult, moving in to something delightful, witnessing the Lord doing amazing things, elevated and affirmed before others, witnessing God driving out opposing forces, witnessing God making a way out of no way, and crossing over, the seventh one, into new territory in communion with others, not alone. You will be stepping into new territory this year. I don't know what it looks like, but be ready to have new territory, new grounds. I'm so excited, because this is an opportunity for us to cross to the other side. This is your transition. This is your revelation. This is your new season. And this offering is your opportunity to put a seed in the ground and prepare for God's harvest in your life this year. And the verse that's stated in the on here, which is Nehemiah 10:35, that's the verse. It says, we also assume responsibility for bringing to the house of the Lord every year the first fruits of our crops and every fruit tree